Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, yeah, this Friday, South Florida, the BKFC Welterweight Championship is at stake, and no doubt about it, that guy right there, Austin Trout, looking to make history, former boxing world champion, now fighting for the bare-knuckle belt, Luis Palomino in your future. No easy task, but Austin, this transition, you're 1-0, you beat Diego Sanchez last year. Everybody's got to be asking you, what's the difference when you go from boxing to the bare knuckle, because it's got to be like being thrown in the incinerator here. I mean, it gets wild in that circle.
It does. The biggest difference is boxing is, in my opinion, it's a pure science. BKFC is more, it's a fight. You know, you got to have your science in there. The smarter fighter wins, in my opinion, still. But that smarter fighter better be able to fight, nonetheless. Because, you know, you're going to end up scrapping sooner or later. And whether you can take a punch and keep going is you know, you're going to find out.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Indeed. We're certainly going to find out at BKFC 57, Hollywood, Florida. And we mentioned Luis Palomino. So, Austin, I don't need to tell you his accomplishments. He's the pound-for-pound king in BKFC, 9-0 in the promotion, the current lightweight champion. And he also formerly had the welterweight crown, but was stripped due to inactivity. So from you coming with the boxing brain, and let's be honest, you were a crafty, slick, southpaw, pure boxer. How do you deal with this monster come Friday night?
We're going to have to fight his ass, right? Like I said, you know, he's coming, and in my opinion, his best bet is to make it ugly, make it a rough fight. So not that we want to fight his fight, but we can, and we will if we must. And I think we'll be better at it than he is deep down inside, I believe I'm the better fighter. Now I'm gonna show him not only the grit but the skill, and we're gonna try to dominate this because I'm going in his backyard. So you know, decisions ain't my friend.
So how did you end up here? That's really what I want to know, because you're on a 6-fight win streak in boxing, 38 years old, but we've seen you last calendar year. You've been actually jumping around the globe for opportunities. When that call rings and they're like, that call, you know, and they go, hey, you got to take the gloves off though. You got to fight that UFC guy. You got to get in this circle here. It's not for everybody. And also not every boxer can make this transition. What was that conversation like for you?
So, you know, I was a fan of it, and I was telling the boys, you know, watching this bare knuckle game, yo, I would do that if you know, the right opportunity presented itself. Lo and behold, last February, you know, shout out to Nelson Lopez, my man called, was like, hey, would you do bare knuckle? I was like, yeah, well, guess who though? They said, Diego. Said, oh, yeah, bad. for sure. As you said, I'm on a 6-fight win streak. You know, my last fight that didn't go my way was a draw with Terrell Gaucher, you know, who was an Olympian. I'm just looking for the opportunity. Like you said, I'm 38. I don't have time to sit there and wait for a year to go by for some opportunity to come. Staying busy is in my best interest, especially at this old age. And I don't feel old. I'm just quoting what everybody calls it. But it's not good for me to sit down for a year and then go fight some killer. And that's what was going on in the last few years of my career. So I've just been trying to avoid that. staying busy, taking fights, getting opportunities wherever I can. And you know, all praise to God, it's taking me to Germany, Dubai. You know, I've been jet setting a little bit. Now I'm about to get a bare knuckle championship.
Yeah, you fought in four different countries in your last six boxing matches. You had that debut in your home state of New Mexico there, but now you'll be in Florida in your opponent's backyard. So you're 38. Luis Palomino's 43. So, you know, age these days is all relative, and it's maybe not what it used to be. But what do you feel like when you get in there and train at this age? Is it I can be the best as I ever was on any given night?
I'm just, you know, with experience and with smarts, I work smarter, not harder. I still work hard, though. So, like, you know, training, I still enjoy training. I still enjoy getting in shape. That's, you know, the process. I don't allow myself to get too much out of shape. So because I didn't like getting from out of shape to in shape. What I like is getting in shape to better shape. So let me rewind. I hate having to get in shape, but I do love getting into great shape. So now, you know, I the discipline between fights has been a lot more tight, and I just been able to get to, you know, elevate. I feel like, you know, I'm in the gym sparring with a lot of these guys. You know, I got this Team Combat League coming up in March. I'm coaching, and you know, I'm really pressed to tell these guys, like, you can't beat me, you can't fight. Like, from middleweights down, you know what I mean? Nah, light heavyweights down. If you can't beat me, you don't get a spot. I'm taking your spot. But not for real. I got a good group of guys. And I'm, although I'm talking trash, I wouldn't test none of them. You know, them guys are fighters.
Yeah, for real, for sure. From an accomplishment standpoint, you've been the junior middleweight champion of the world. You fought Canelo in the Alamo Dome in a unification. You beat Miguel Cotto in Madison Square Garden. You've done some things, Austin. And you've done it, by the way, in a very great story of somebody who was never maybe the first pick of the boxing promoters. I remember when you won your world title in Mexico, of all places. What would a BKFC belt actually mean? I mean, at this point, you'll collect the checks while you can still get them. But from a sporting accomplishment, what does this value hold for you?
I mean, I feel like winning this belt will make me like the Deion Sanders of combat sports. You know, two-time world champion. That's not too shabby. And even if the BKFC is a new baby, but, you know, they got some real fighters in there. And every champ that I've seen, every one of them seems legit to me. So I think it's a great accomplishment. It's all eyes on this title because again, to be a two-sport, two-time world champion, that's not bad. Yeah,
not bad at all. Not bad at all. Yeah. You've got a little bit more invested than most. I've seen you do some broadcasting work with BKFC and enjoyed seeing your voice added in. So why is this working? Because this promotion is red hot right now. I got to give Dade Feldman a lot of credit. But from your view, why is it working when there's a lot of boxing business, a lot of MMA business, but this kind of maybe bridges the gap?
It does. That's exactly what you said it right there. It bridges the gap. Taking the gloves off is a great equalizer. You know, you got somebody who may be faster, have more skills, but you got somebody who could take a punch and give a punch. Like my man, Mike Perry, he's never been the most skilled guy in the ring, but he has been definitely the toughest, and it's worked for him. And his game plan is to punch your fist with his face and then punch your face with this fist. And you know, this sport is perfect for guys like that. And the fans win. Every time someone like Mike steps in, or someone like even Baboon steps in, and soon enough, every time I step in, the fans are going to win. Because you know, it's a, like I said, it's a fight. You lose points if you run. Yeah. And as a boxer who appreciates the footwork, and I would never call another boxer running, especially if it's working. That doesn't fly in the BKFC. They don't allow it. It's not. It's frowned upon. So, you know, standing toe-to-toe, the two-minute sprint, you know, it has a good – like, for instance, I think that two-minute was genius, taking the gloves off and putting the two-minute rounds, because these guys got to fight. You know, you only got 2 minutes to work, as opposed to – 3 5-minute rounds, you know, or even 5 5-minute rounds for championships, or 12 3-minute rounds. You have time to not do anything. You know, there's a lot of time to waste. And as a fighter, who knows about wasting the clock? You know, we have tactics of wasting time. There's no time to waste in the BKFC. I think that's why it's working. No time to waste, and you got some guys that want to fight.
Now, did you get any pushback in-house? Literally, your family of going, all right, Austin, we've supported you, but I saw Paulie Malignaggi get carved up in this sport. I mean, was that a hard conversation?
It was, and, you know, I'm still having these conversations because, you know, now that it's getting close to fight time, they're like, what are you doing to us? My wife was already years ago talking about, so what age do you plan on retiring? And, you know, that conversation was like, well, I don't want to put a number on it, because what if I need to retire before and I hold out too long just to make that number? Or what if I'm killing it and I'm past that number, but I quit before, you know, I could have milked it all, you know, dry. You know, I don't want to put a number. Playing it by ear, I go for, like, do I want to train? That's first and foremost. If I don't want to train, that's when you're going to get hurt. Okay, are you able? Well, you know, all these young boys that receive ass whoopings from yours truly, they tell me I'm still able. So as long as I love it and I'm able and, you know, I'm willing, I'll just keep it going. Luckily, I'm in this research program that goes, I go to Vegas and I take these brain scans and all these memory tests, speech tests, and they compare my results from previous years and to other fighters and to other non-fighters. And
hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every year, I'm on top of the charts. You know what I'm saying? So, and even some years, you know, it's gotten better. You know, so the graph goes up a little bit sometimes. So also, as long as that's still working and this is still working, we're just going to ride it. I'm about to be champion of the BKFC. I have obligations as a champion of this company, and I will fulfill those obligations. And then we'll talk about what's next.
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead, but you mentioned Mike Perry, who, to his credit, has turned his move from UFC to BKFC into, like, legit stardom. And he's going in there against killers, and he's walking through hell, and he's getting his hand raised. If you become welterweight champion, you're really not that far away from Mike Perry's, you know, fighting weight. Is that a future coming attraction that you'd be interested in?
It sounds like that's where the money's at. But, you know, Mike Perry, I'm not even 165-pounder for real. I still make 155, 154 fairly easy. You know, coming up to 165 was the best deal I could get. You know, I wanted to fight him at 155. So we definitely would have to think about that one. Because that would be like going up damn near, you know, 4 or 5 weight classes for me in the boxing world. I know it's really two. He's what, 175 or 185?
I think he's around that 170 area. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what some of those contracts have made, because he did fight bigger guys like Rockhold, so he had to move up.
You know? Yeah. But, you know, I'm down. I ain't never ducking any smoke. And I got a plan for Mike Perry, just knowing that may be something that happens. I already got I'm like Batman. I got a contingency plan for him already.
Well, we've seen boxing crossovers before. I know Ishae Smith won a bare knuckle fight. Paulie Malignaggi fought an MMA fighter and came up empty. But when I talk to the MMA fighters about the bare knuckle style that is still evolving, because this sport, while not new, is new to this era, a lot of people are talking about that fencing jab that you maybe can't use some of the traditional footwork and setups in boxing. How do you address that, being somebody who comes from such a very good technical background in boxing?
I think my jab worked just great in the first fight, and my jab is going to work just fine in this next fight. The jab, I feel like, is almost key. And if they think doing away with the jab is going to hurt them, then I would love to fight every one of those guys.
Do you, is the bare knuckle aspect, does that, what does that change for the strategy? Can you load up on punches? How do you work with that?
So that's one thing that I learned from the last fight. You know, again, this is only my second time. I'm going to learn a lot during this fight and be even better for my third fight. But in the first fight, I learned that, you don't need to really sit on your punches. If you hit them in the right place, they're going to go down. You know, all those shots that I was catching Diego with, I was, you know, catching with perfect, good load up, sitting on those shots. None of them put him down except for that one arm punch that I caught him when he turned into the shot. It was an arm punch. I didn't put no body into it, nothing. And he dropped like a sack of potatoes. So, you know, letting my hands go without sitting on shots is better for me because I get to save my hands while causing, you know, just as much damage as I would if I was sitting on those shots, you know.
Now, can the phone still ring in the boxing game? Are you hoping it will, even with a BKFC championship potentially Friday night?
Yeah, I definitely hope it will. You know, shout out to Legacy Promotions. You know, I think they got something going for me. Hopefully by, you know, God willing, I heal up and everything's fine. We can get back into it by March, depending on what's happening. But, you know, first things first is Palomino, and then we'll see what I have to do as far as obligations go as a newly crowned champion.
How do you look at what you've accomplished in boxing? I ask this a lot because I'm curious of guys. Some guys will surprise me and say, for everything you might be excited for me that I accomplished, I didn't reach my goals. Have you reached or exceeded the goals that you set out with when you first got into this game?
Well, to be honest, no. I wanted to be the undefeated, undisputed world champion. I got to be undefeated world champion, but I never got that undisputed, unfortunately. Looking back, you know, I have a good career. It's nothing to shy at. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to be very proud of. For me, you know, those losses, it's really hard to get past. You know, it's like, yeah, I had some good wins. But a lot of my good wins, no one got to see, you know. Yeah, thank God they got to see the Cotto win. But, you know, I was in Panama fighting Nilsson Tapia, who was, you know, the Colombian champ. And I went to Canada and fought the Canadian Haitian champ. And, you know, and had some real good fights that nobody really got to see. But all my big losses, everybody got to see. You know what I mean?
Well, you fought well in a lot of those. I think you gave the Charlos, their toughest test to date on their rise up. I mean, I've told you for years, there's a conspiracy theory that, you know, you could have scored it for you over Canelo. That's the score I had. You know, I mean, I don't know what was going on with that open scoring that night. They had it like 8-0 on one scorecard. I mean, what are we doing here, Austin? You know?
Yeah, you know, and you know, those are the stories I'm not told, because when you just see it, it's just an L. But, you know, there's more context to that loss than just seeing it on paper. So I'll get over it one of these days. But you know what? Being a BKFC champion helps me get over it. I could go look back at those glory days like they were the glory days. Wasn't the ending I wanted, but I was there. And I like you said, I gave both Charles a run for their money. I was whooping her's ass. I was probably one of the last people besides Triple G that walked Canelo down for 12 rounds. So, you know, none of that's nothing to shy at. I'm proud of what I've done.
Absolutely. And when we talk about that 2012 night in Madison Square Garden, which I think should be talked about more because it was such a exciting upset when he went in there. I mean, Margarito, Mosley, Judah, legends, they couldn't beat Miguel Cotto in the world's most famous arena. When you go back to that night, I remember being ringside. It was supposed to be, you know, what was it supposed to be? Cotto Canelo next? I mean, you spoiled that.
Yeah.
The pressure on you. You had Showtime All Access cameras following you. You really turned out that night. When you look back, what are you most proud of?
Well, you know, I told everybody, I was like, man, Cotto ain't winning this fight. I'm telling y'all right now. I look, you know, everything worked out as we planned it, but that was not the plan of everybody else. So, you know, in fact, one of the funniest moments of that night was the WBA. Usually when you win a belt, they'll make you your own belt later, right? Because they don't know whose hands are going to change. So you take your pictures with the former champion's belt and you do all that, but you give it back. They thought Cotto was going to win. So they made a new belt. And once I won, man, they had to give me a new belt. So now I got multiple WBA world title belts. That was cool. I believed in me. You know what I mean? I ain't need nobody else to believe.
Well, hey, same story entering Friday. As long That's as right. you believe, you got a huge opportunity. Unbeaten Luis Palomino in front of you. Let's close with this. What'd you say his nickname was? It's the Baboon, right?
The Baboon, yeah.
I mean, this guy had a very decorated MMA career, by the way.
He did.
But what he's done in BKFC is where he is really putting the stamp on. What makes him so dangerous? How do you beat him Friday night in South Florida?
Well, you know, Palomino, he's got a good mix of very, he's good footwork, good speed, good power. You know, and he's got that weird rhythm. He kind of jumps in, he'll blast you, he'll stand out. I think for me, dictating the pace, dictating the rhythm, stepping to him and not letting him dictate when he wants to attack is going to be key. It's going to be a lot of mind games. That we're going to execute with our skill.
Hey, it gets dirty in the clinch there in this sport, Austin. I don't know if
absolutely.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely. In fact, the first fight, I initiated the clinch and I body Diego in that clinch. He didn't want to hold me no more, man.
There it is. Austin, no doubt, Trout. By the way, always a pleasure to chat with you. One of the good guys in this combat sports game. I wish you well. Friday night, BKFC 57, the welterweight title on the line. Go get him.
Thank you, man. Have a good one, Brian.